George Burns and Gracie Allen. With yours truly, Bill Goodwin, and the music of Meredith Wilson and his orchestra. Last week, in order to get the part of a husband in a picture, I invited a movie producer to the Burns home and pretended to be Gracie's husband. We convinced the producer that I was a dull, uninteresting married man. Sounds unbelievable, doesn't it? We also convinced him that George was an irresistible lady killer. So he forgot me and hired George to play a wolf. This news has just been released, and so for further details, we take you to the NBC newsroom.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dick Joy reporting your last-minute news. Flash! Movie producer Lawrence Sherwood dropped a bombshell on Hollywood tonight when he announced that the most coveted screen role of the year, that of the wolf in the new Betty Grable picture, would go to a sensational new screen lover, George Burns. Friends of Sherwood had expected him to cast Bill Goodwin in the role of the wolf who chases Miss Grable, a part which Goodwin has rehearsed for years. Says Luella Parsons,
"In my humble opinion, a picture starring George Burns should have everything it'll need it."
Says movie producer Georgie Jessel,
"Many new ideas have come out of the war. Casting George Burns as a wolf is a Revolutionary War idea. It would have been a great idea during the Revolutionary War."
When told that her new leading man would be George Burns, Betty Grable had this to say.
"Darling, did you hear the news on the radio? Sherwood has just announced that he's co-starring you with Betty Grable."
"Really? He must be out of his mind. I'm no movie star."
"But you can be, dear. You're loaded with sex appeal."
"Oh, don't be silly. Let him get some guy like Gregory Peck."
"Oh, pooh. How can you compare a Peck to a man who has it by the bushel?"
"Oh, forget it. I'm not for pictures."
"George, have you ever studied yourself in the mirror and seen how really handsome you are? That straight nose, that square jaw, those perfectly formed chins."
"Yes, I'm gorgeous."
"Yeah, I mean it. You've got everything any leading man on the screen has. I'll prove it to you. Just name one."
"All right. Charles Boyer."
"Charles Boyer. What's he got?"
"What's he got? How about those eyes?"
"You've got just as many."
"It's not how many. It's what he can do with them."
"Well, there he's not even in the same class with you. One look from your deep, smoldering pools of passion would make a woman forget her husband. Look at me."
"I'm looking."
"Come closer, Fred."
"Fred?"
"Yeah, oh." "Ah, yes, you see, you made me forget my husband."
"Gracie, look, granted I might have a certain amount of charm, but could I handle the acting part of a picture role?"
"I knew you were going to say that, and I'm ready for you."
"What do you mean?"
"Well, I have a little scene here that I wrote just for you. You run the entire gamut of emotions in it."
"Oh, Gracie, I'm
not..." "Oh, what's the matter? You afraid to find out how good you are?"
"Well, all right. Give me my part."
"Here. Now, you play a soldier who has just come back from the war. You have a beard and a bandage around your head, and your eyes are all bloodshot. They look gorgeous in Technicolor."
"Yes, I can see it all now."
"All right, I speak first. And give it everything you've got, George."
"Okay, go ahead."
"Oh, my darling, you're home. Home at last. After all these months of waiting, hoping, praying, tell me, darling, quickly, are you all right? Are you all right?"
"Yes."
Oh, you've been shot. Yes, I can see it. You're wounded. Oh, my poor dearest. Where did they get you? Where?
Here."
"It doesn't matter. I'll nurse you back to health. You'll be well and sound again, my love. You shall have every care. I'll never leave your side for a minute. You'll never be alone again. Never, never."
"Gee."
"Seeing you again is so wonderful. Oh, darling, I'm afraid I'm going to cry." No, I mustn't cry. That's what I should do. Laugh. See, George, you're dynamite.
That settles it. I'm going to call the producer right now and tell him to forget it.
Oh, but George.
Oh, I'm not for that.
Come in.
Well, there you are, you little double-crossing picture stealer.
Bill, I...
Why, if you try to be Grable's leading man, they'll laugh you off the screen.
What do you mean? Wait till they see that physique and hear that voice. Why, George is a combination of Johnny Weissmuller and Frank Sinatra.
Well, you're right. He sings like Weissmuller and he's built like Sinatra.
I don't want
to think that you beat me out of a picture. You know, this ruins my career. I might as well throw myself in the ocean.
Oh, Bill, you wouldn't do that.
Yes, I will. And tomorrow they'll find me washed up on the beach. Me and a dead mackerel side by side. The only two things in the world that have less sex appeal than George Burns.
Bill, I've been trying to tell you, you can have the part. I'm going to call Sherwood and resign.
What?
Sure, you're the man for the part. You're so talented, so handsome, so charming. What am I?
You're so right. And let's face it, who can love Bill Goodwin better than Betty Grable?
Bill Goodwin.
See you later.
Hand me the phone, Gracie. I'll call Sherwood and resign.
Oh, George, wait until tomorrow. I have the strangest feeling you'll change your mind. So that's why I called you, Meredith. We've got to convince George that the public demands him.
Well, how can I help?
Well, by getting all the men in your orchestra to write George fan letters.
Well, I don't know about all of them.
Well, just ask those who know how to write.
Okay.
Well, you write some, too. And all my girlfriends and I will write some.
Good.
And then I'll hire a couple of hundred bobby sockers to wait outside tomorrow and tear George's clothes off.
Oh, that'll sure make him a romantic figure.
Well, it will if I hide his long underwear tonight. Now, let's get busy, Meredith.
A tremendous amount of mail for your husband this morning.
Oh, I know. I know. I wrote most of it. I hope it wasn't too heavy for you to carry.
Oh, no. My muscles laugh at heavy weights. They call me the W.C. Fields of the post office.
They do?
Yes. I can carry such a tremendous load. But why should you write to your husband? Aren't you two on speaking terms?
Oh, yes, but I'm trying to make George a big picture star, and I want him to think these letters are from fan clubs. Say, maybe your wife could organize one.
My wife?
Well, yes, she's quite a club woman, isn't she?
No, she uses her bare hands. Well, goodbye, Mrs. Burns. Remember, keep smiling.
Adoring women all clamoring to see you on the screen.
Oh, go on.
Well, now here, look, I'll read one. Now, listen to this. My dearest darling dream boy, when I heard that you were coming to the screen, I kicked my husband out of the house, and now I keep your picture beneath my pillow.
Well, maybe she just wanted to get rid of her husband.
It's signed Mrs. Walter Pigeon.
Well, I'll be done.
Oh, now look, here's another one. Dear Super Wolf.
Super Wolf?
Yes. You're our joy boy. You great big gorgeous hunk of oomph. And from now on, we will see only your pictures. Signed, George Burns Fan Club, formerly Van Johnson Fan Club.
Holy smoke. No one could be this big a success overnight.
Well, you're not an overnight success. You forget that for years, people have listened to you on the radio.
That's right.
Are eagles hatched overnight? No. First, eggs must be laid. Today, you're hatching the eggs you laid on the radio.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do, Gracie. I'll go over to the studio and talk this thing over with Shirley.
Oh, good. Here's your coat. Now, be careful and don't let the Bobby Sockers mob you.
Oh, don't be silly. If this were 20 years ago, maybe. Well, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Holy smoke. They're here. Hundreds of them.
Uh-huh. What did I tell you?
But I can't understand it. If this were 10 years ago, maybe. I'll look again. Gee. If this were a couple of years ago, maybe.
You better go out there before they tear the house down.
Okay. What the heck? Maybe they like men in their late 20s.
This is Dick Joy from the NBC newsroom again, ladies and gentlemen. Police riot squads were rushed to the home of George Burns a few moments ago when hundreds of berserk Bobby Sockers fought each other for a glimpse of their latest idol. Questioned as to the secret of his amazing new power over women, Burns refused to comment. But federal authorities are investigating the possibility that he's been able to harness atomic energy in vitamin form. Skeptics are now getting on the bandwagon, says Luella Parsons.
More power to you, George Burns.
Says Georgie Jessel.
Producer Sherwood's going to play up George Burns' talent in this picture. Well, that's different. Why didn't you say he was going to use Gracie?
Her curiosity aroused by this wave of popularity, Betty Grable asked to have another look at Burns. Said Miss Grable.
Oh, Meredith, our teamwork. George has been rehearsing with Betty Grable all afternoon.
Certainly sounds like he's arrived.
Oh, yes. But there's one thing that worries me.
What?
After a love scene with George Burns, will Grable be content to go home to Harry James?
That's the point.
George is probably the only man living who can outkiss a trumpet player.
Those trumpet players are sure something, all right. One of them tried to kiss me once.
You married him?
Yeah. She was with Phil Stokowny. I say she was with Phil Spitali. Now, let me see. Her
oh, George!
Name... No, I think her name was Agnes.
No, I see George coming up the walk. Oh, I can't wait to take him in my arms. My big, handsome movie star.
I'll just slip out the back way.
Darling, here's a kiss.
Please, dear. You'll smear my makeup.
But, George, I'm so happy to see you.
Must we have a display of emotions? I've just come from the set, and really, I'm all kissed out.
Oh, sit down and rest, George. I'll have dinner ready in a jiffy.
Sorry, dear. I'm dining with Lana Turner.
Oh, well, will I see you after dinner?
No, the publicity department has arranged a full evening. I'm attending a concert with Deanna Durbin. Dancing at the truck with Rita Hayworth. A cigarette at Ciro's with Lauren McCall. Then a little smorgasbord with Ingrid Bergman.
Won't I see you at all?
Well, if you care to peek in at the Brown Derby around midnight, you may watch me stir my coffee.
Oh, will you stir it? I thought you'd have Esther Williams swim around it.
Please, dear, don't be the troll. Entree.
Well, George, did you go to studio and resign?
Resign? Me? And let the whole motion picture industry crash?
What's with him?
Oh, I'm afraid he's gone Hollywood on us, Bill.
What is it you wish, lad? My autograph?
Autograph? George, it's me, Bill.
Oh, George, stop being ridiculous. We're your friends. You don't have to high-hat us.
Well, if I'm not appreciated around here, you may send my bags to the Beverly Wilshire Hotel.
If we do that, what'll hold up your eyes?
Oh, you big player.
Oh, Bill. Bill, what am I going to do? I've lost him. My home is collapsing. Oh, Bill, you've got to bring him back to his senses.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's beyond my help, Gracie. From now on, George won't listen to anyone who isn't a big shot in pictures.
Say, that's an idea. I know just the man. Georgie Jessel. He's not only a big picture producer, but he's an old friend of George's. He wouldn't want to see a breakup. He's been a family man himself. So often.
Well, Gracie, you better hurry over to 20th Century Fox and see him.
Dear.
Good evening, Grace.
George, look to who I brought home with me.
Yeah. Hiya, George. Oh, good gosh, it's great seeing you again, Kelsey. Have we met before? This is Jessel. Georgie Jessel. We grew up together in New York.
New York? Oh, yes. A settlement on the East Coast.
Yes, a small village with a few cows and 7 million people. You know darn well who I am.
Wait now. I do have a vague recollection. Weren't you connected with the theater? An usher, perhaps?
Now, look, George, we worked in Vaudeville together.
Indeed. And to think that I, a great star of the cinema, was once a mere vaudevillian.
And believe me, there was nobody mirror. Gracie, will you tell him who I am?
Oh, darling, you must remember Georgie Jessel, one of the greatest vaudeville stars of all time. How could you forget the man who used to get down on one knee and sing Mammy?
Gracie, Al Jolson.
Oh, that's right. Well, darling, you must remember Georgie Jessel, one of the greatest vaudeville stars of all time. How can you forget the man who used to pop his eyes out and sing If You Knew Susie?
Eddie Cantor.
Oh, that's right. Well, darling, you must remember Georgie Jessel, one of the greatest vaudeville stars of all time. How could you forget who... Georgie, what did you do?
I was a big, fat, blonde woman, and I sang Some of These Days.
Well, this has all been very interesting, Mr. Hessel.
Hessel? Jessel, J. J, as in what? You're the biggest one I've ever seen.
Genius is spelled with a G, Mr. Pessel.
Oh, go away from me, Pessel.
Well, I should be off to the studio. I'll go inside and put on my spats and green beret. Ta-ta!
Ta-ta! He certainly has blown his top, hasn't he?
Yeah, isn't it awful pretending not to remember anything about vaudeville? Well, that's the biggest thing in his whole life.
Well, of course it was. Ta-ta! Wait a minute.
Said it gives me an idea, Gracie. Once a vaudeville trooper, always a vaudeville trooper. Now, you just take your cue from me.
Yeah, but what are you going
to... And, Gracie, as I was telling you, we'll be the biggest thing the vaudeville ever had. Here's the billing. Bethel and Ellen. That's what we'll call the act. Now, we open at one, you see? Right away, you come out and hit you with a baby spot.
Bethel and Ellen? What's this?
Oh, you wouldn't be interested. Ta-ta, go to the studio. Now, look. As I was saying, Gracie, hit you with a baby spot. Now, the orchestra...
Wait a minute. Are you planning a vaudeville act?
That's right, yes.
Well, you see, you'll be busy at the studio, dear, and I have to have something to occupy my time.
Yeah, but I had...
Come on, Gracie. Now, look, I'll sit down at the piano. We'll try out the opening.
Okay, I'm ready.
One bright and guiding light that taught me wrong from right I found in my mother's eyes. Say, Gracie, speaking of mothers, a funny thing happened to my mother in Cleveland.
Oh, really? I thought you were born in Buffalo.
Look, I got a better joke than that.
Now, wait, Papa. What do you picture actors know about vaudeville? You take it, Gracie. Go ahead.
Those baby tales she told, that road all paved with gold, I found in my mother's eyes.
You're going to open with that thing?
Yeah, why not?
Well, you ought to open with something peppy, like bum 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 down in the garden where the red rose grows.
Oh, wait,
bum 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 bum. Oh, the
fire. Hey, Papa, get out of here, will you, please? You are annoying the artist. Okay. Just like a wandering sparrow, one lonely soul. Go make a movie.
Well, gee, I just thought I'd help.
I'd walk the straight and narrow to reach my goal. Come on, Gracie, let's take the finish together. God distant from above, a real unselfish love.
Oh, that'll be great. Gregor, I'll tell you what we'll do for an encore. Look, for an encore.
Hello? Yeah, oh, just a minute. George, it's Betty Grable.
Oh, hello, Betty. Look, kid, don't bother me now with that picture. I haven't got time. Yeah, but Betty, you can get somebody almost as good. Get Flynn or Bogart. Goodbye. Now, look, I've got a great recitation for the encore. You two hum and I'll show you how it goes. When a man does a wrong, he goes right along, and the world soon forgives and forgets. And a girl do the same, and her head's bowed in shame, and her life is a right.